report, a mixed verdict in the Rush shooting in trial in New Mexico involving the film's armorer.
We find the defendant, Hannah Gutierrez, guilty of involuntary manslaughter as charged in count one. We find the defendant, Hannah Gutierrez, not guilty of tampering with evidence as charged in count two.
That verdict reached after hours of deliberations today. Hannah Gutierrez-Reed was responsible for the safe handling of guns on set, but Special Prosecutor Carrie Morrissey argued she failed when a live bullet ended up in a prop gun and killed a cinematographer.
She didn't know there were live rounds on set, and the reason she...
This is the CBS News World News Roundup Late Edition, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Monica Ricks. A major crackdown's happening now in New York City, where New York Governor Kathy Hochul has deployed the National Guard and state troopers to help the NYPD search for weapons on its massive subway system.
Rattling off statistics, saying things are getting better, doesn't make you feel better. Especially when you've just heard about someone being slashed in the throat or thrown onto a subway's tracks.
The MTA says it's also working to install more cameras on trains. In Philly, police say eight students were shot today near a bus stop. Commissioner Kevin Bethel.
Over 30 times they fired into the kids that are getting onto the bus. As a result of that gunfire, we now have eight students who have been shot, ranging in the age from 15 to 17 years of age.
At least one of those teenagers is in serious condition. The House passed a spending package today to help keep the government open.
The House of Representatives has passed a funding package that would avoid a partial government shutdown set to take effect on Friday. The legislation now heads to the U.S. Senate. Negotiators are still working to reach an agreement on another set of bills that would avoid a full shutdown.
CBS's Robert Casa, the deadline on that short-term funding deal is midnight Friday. Looks like President Biden and former President Trump are headed towards a 2020 rematch with both Nikki Haley and Minnesota Congressman Deem Phillips out in November. Phillips endorsed Biden today on WCCO.
While indeed I think the president is at a stage in life where his capacities are diminished, he is still a man of competency and decency and integrity. And the alternative, Donald Trump, is a very dangerous man.
The U.S. Postal Service unveiled the artwork for its new Forever stamp today, honoring Betty Ford, First Lady Jill Biden.
Mrs. Ford once wrote that to be remembered with joy is a kind of immortality. I'm sure if she were with us today, she would offer a witty quip about being immortalized with her own Forever stamp.
Ford fought for women's rights and helped spread awareness on breast cancer and substance abuse. Barbie celebrating International Women's Day with a few new role models. Here's CBS's Matt Piper.
The dolls are based on real-life singers and actresses from around the world, including Kylie Minogue, actress Viola Davis.
Don't you think I had dreams and hopes?
And Helen Mirren, who narrated last year's Barbie the movie.
There have been dolls.
The fourth entertainer, Barbie.
Man, I feel like a woman.
Shania Twain. Mattel says the dolls are meant to introduce girls to remarkable women's stories to show them you can be anything.
This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Vice President Kamala Harris in Wisconsin today with Labor Secretary Julie Sue talking up apprenticeship opportunities at a Madison construction site.
They are learning skills that are about engineering and technology. They are learning skills that is about complex math and science. And these are the kinds of skills that we need in a variety of jobs.
President Biden today signed an executive order that aims to create paid apprenticeships in the trades to help rebuild America's infrastructure. Most kids are doing okay after a school bus and a dump truck crashed in Waukesha this morning. Police say there were 34 kids on the bus. Some of them got some small scrapes and cuts from broken glass. Only one child had to go to the hospital. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now, here's what you need to know closer to home.
This is your hometown radio, Refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Cloud cover thickening for tonight, a low in the mid-30s. And it looks mostly cloudy into tomorrow, a high in the mid-40s. A couple of light showers possible Thursday night, better chance of rain Friday, highs in the mid-40s. and still a lingering shower Saturday, warmer by Sunday. It's 39 right now.
Hey, everybody, it's Todd Alba. Noon to 2 on Thursday, we'll preview Biden's State of the Union address right here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
News, talk, and the sports that made Wisconsin great. Packers, Bucks, and coming in 2024, the Brewers. 1400 AM and 99.9 and 98.1 FM, WRJN. On the Badger Sports Network from Learfield, this is the Greg Gard Show, brought to you by Monk's Bar and Grill, Wisconsin grown, Wisconsin proud. Monk's Bar and Grill is a proud partner of Wisconsin Athletics. And by SeatGeek, official ticket marketplace of the Wisconsin Badgers. Now, here's your host, the voice of the Badgers, Matt LePay.
We welcome you into the Greg Gard Show. Just a couple more versions of it this season as the Badgers wind down the Big Ten regular season here in the coming days. Next week up in Minneapolis with the Big Ten tournament, and then what follows. Always a fun time of year for college basketball fans. On tonight's program, we'll visit with Charlie Wills, get his perspective on things Wisconsin basketball. We'll also chat with Dean Oliver a little bit on last Saturday in the pregame, the ceremony with the return of Howard Moore, and a little bit of basketball talk, too, as we get Dean's perspective on guys like John Blackwell and the impressions that he has made on folks here, and this is freshman season. But as always, we begin with the Badgers head coach, and we'll get into basketball matters, put a capper on the Illinois game, look forward to Rutgers tomorrow and then Purdue on Sunday. But it was to say it was a powerful day on Saturday would be an understatement. I think there's so many things that fans and attendants will take with them, maybe none more so than the reaction on Howard's face when Howard Moore's face when he was back on the floor. You could just see the excitement, and for him it was like a welcome back home, wasn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, you never know. Obviously, it's the first time ever something like that has happened, and to have the opportunity to bring him back and him being in a good enough health position to come back, you never know how those days are going to go and how it's all going to unfold. But I don't know, other than the final score, everything else in terms of the day, the preparation leading up to how they executed, you know, getting Howard here, getting onto the floor, former teammates here, everything with it, I think. And I didn't see the halftime. I saw Jarrell's speech, but in all reports that I've gotten and my observations, it was phenomenal. I don't know if there's a dry eye in the building. There shouldn't have been. Mm-hmm. But it's a very, very special day, a very hard day, very heavy emotional day, but a day that thankfully we've gotten to where he is in a good enough position where he can make that return trip, because that was in question for quite some time.
Yeah, Jarrell was unbelievable. 18-year-old Jarrell Moore, now senior at Middleton High School, as we talked last week, but for him to, and he said it was easy afterwards, but we wanted to thank everybody who was at the Kohl Center, anybody, you know, taking the game in, and for him to be there, it looks like he's been public speaking for a long time. It was really a special moment.
You know, for him to say that it was easy, I concur completely, because there's nothing harder that he's going to see the rest of his life than what he's watched mm-hmm. and gone through here the last 5 years. So speaking in front of 17,000, really, really, really easy compared to what he's had to endure and watch and painfully go through over the last, last several years.
Yeah, you mentioned the team. Yeah, that's a great point. The teammates, Michael Finley, Tracy Webster, Rashard, obviously, and Chris Conger, Sean Carlin. There were a lot of other former Badgers who maybe predate Howard as in Howard's time as a player here, who were in attendance though. So it's, and you know, I was talking to Brian Butch about this, because Brian was in Evanston. He was doing a TV broadcast for the Northwestern Iowa game, and he talked with Chris Lowry, last year's Howard Moore assistant coach of the year. It was a great perspective for me. Like, we all know around the Wisconsin program what Howard means, but it goes beyond here.
Right.
I mean, people across the country took in what happened on Saturday.
Absolutely. You know, I got texts from all over the country, from coaches, former coaches, current head coaches. I mean, people out of the blue that I haven't heard from a long time. It definitely was viewed and viewed very intently nationwide. And that's just the impact of Howard. Obviously, he coached at several places. You know, his time here as a player, two stints as an assistant coach. You know, and you mentioned all the other spots that he was at and people he was with and just the type of person that he is and him and his family and how he was always about trying to help others. I remember when he started the Moore Foundation and just constantly wanted to, he was going to tackle the city of Chicago and get it right, you know, and get the violence out of there. So, you know, just his ever giving heart is, I think, what everybody knows and remembers and cherishes so much about Howard.
There are so many people who have been been great help here in this journey for Howard. Obviously, Rashard, Howard's family, but I think of, you know, Tim and Nancy Valentine, George and Pamela Hamill, you know, Heather Garrison, who does a ton of work with guarding against cancer as well. I could keep going, but you get the idea, just how everybody is pulling together for this.
Yeah, and what I appreciate so much specifically from George Hamill and Pam is that George has made it a very intentional drive to make sure we don't forget about Howard. Because, as I mentioned in my press conference Saturday, you know, the world spins so fast and we move on to the next 24-hour news cycle that we forget the aftermath and the ruins that are left to one of our own. And George was adamant that that doesn't get forgotten, and we got to keep, you know, him in our thoughts and keep helping him and his family. And, you know, huge credit to all of you, mentioned several of those people, along with that committee of former players, Chris yes. Conger, Andy Kilbride, that have been constant in their, you know, keeping it front and center of everybody's mind, as it should be, as it needs to be. Yeah. And like I said, that's what made Saturday so special.
Yeah, also shout out to John Roach, the video that's played, that's John Roach and his company who put that together. So it was, like I said, it was an incredibly powerful day. Badger fans, you've probably already seen it multiple times already, and you'll remember it forever. The game itself with Illinois, another example of how the scoring is on an uptick. Look, last year, no one averaged 80 points a game in the Big Ten last year. Three teams are this year. But you guys, you did a lot of good things, it seemed like, in the game.
Yeah,
points in the paint, turnovers low, right, in the game. There were a lot of, you know that you want to try to fix what you can fix. But there was some good stuff to build on.
Yeah, it's a pretty high-level college game. I mean, you'd look at how it played down the stretch. You know, it's tied with, you know, 4 or 5 minutes to go. At one point we went back and forth. We had a stretch around the 11-minute mark where I felt we made some mistakes consecutively where we could have maybe gotten from, you know, we got down, we got it back later, but we could have made a little push there to get some separation. And we, on both ends, I felt we stacked inconsistent, unproductive possessions together. So, but no, I thought, you know, the score looks, you like a 91, but you're right about, we've beating our head against the wall, like why, where, how, what. You look nationally, it's everywhere. The game has gone that way, specifically the last 3 years. We've talked off air, you know, after practice and things, that just how we've watched, you know, offense become, for a variety of reasons, rule changes are one of them. The game has changed and it is changing, and you're going to see more of this. You know, you're not going to see as many 61-53s. It's going to be more 91-83s or in that neighborhood, I think, just as specifically as you evolve. And I think we've seen the teams that have evolved offensively, we being one of them, our scoring is up. Why? Because we've had to change and wanted to change some things and evolve. And, you know, so you're constantly, you know, trying to stay ahead of the game. And, you know, Illinois and Purdue have done the same similar things in terms of offensive innovation, renovation, so to speak. And but also I look not just at our league, look nationally, and you study trends, and it's trending upward. It has, you know, rule changes usually impact scoring and negatively impact defense. So that's where the powers that be want it and where it wants to go. And we're seeing the results.
I would say I've seen this with college football for a long time now. Now Michigan was really good this year running the ball, line play both sides, but it's generally the teams that are in the playoff or the teams holding the trophy are teams scoring about 40 points a game. In college football, it's about winging it and, you know, using the entire field and all of that. And yeah, TV partners like offense. It's just kind of just
sells all
the
those
way
subscriptions
it is.
And everything else.
It really does. Anybody watch the NFL lately? So it is all about that.
that. We will take a break. Badgers hosting Rutgers on senior night, 6 o'clock tip on Thursday at the Kohl Center, and then the regular season concludes at Purdue on Sunday afternoon. We'll take a break. More of the Greg Gard Show coming up in a couple of minutes on the Badger Sports Network from Learfield.
Burgers stacked with mushrooms on Wisconsin Swiss cheese, or piled high with smoked brisket, crispy bacon, Wisconsin Gouda, lettuce, tomato, sweet barbecue sauce, and a fried pickle, or simply topped with cheese and fried onions, Monk's Bar and Grill offers classic and gourmet burgers for lunch, dinner, and game day. Whatever you are craving, Monk's has you covered with 6 locations statewide. Monk's Bar and Grill is a proud partner of Wisconsin Athletics.
SeatGeek's the ticketing app for fans like the sideline shot caller.
Come on, boys, pick up the pace!
SeatGeek got him a great deal on seats right near the action, so when he yells,
"What are you doing? Book him!"
he can be absolutely sure the players heard him. SeatGeek handles the tickets to sports, concerts, and more, so fans can fan.
How do you master the game of basketball? With ingenuity. By creating new opportunities to turn post-ups into layups, spin moves into easy steals, press breaks into fast breaks. At UW Health, we use the same ingenuity to treat injuries. We build a team of the greatest minds in sports medicine, constantly innovating for the future of sports treatment. As the Badgers' official team doctors, we're dedicated to delivering advanced care every day so any athlete can stay on their A game. UW Health. Remarkable.
I'm Sawyer.
And I'm Shannon.
Together, we're Twin Stunts, the only twin motorcycle freestyle show in the world. We are born and raised in Wisconsin, so we want all our fellow cheeseheads to know that even though we clutch it up, hit 12, and drift in our show, we would never do it on the open road. And there's another thing we would never do on the road. Drive drunk. Drive sober, or get pulled over. Together, we can save lives. Learn more at zeroinwisconsin.gov. Wisconsin DOT.
Get started on your next outdoor project and save big money now at Menards. General Purpose Concrete Mix is great for patios, walkways, and setting posts. All you have to do is add water, mix, and pour. Menards carries a wide selection of bagged concrete mix for a variety of outdoor projects. Save big on concrete mix and get into Menards to check out more of our great deals going on now.
Save big money at Menards.
Famous Wurstmacher's Bob and Tony in the Smokehouse.
Ah, beef, summer sausage, and salami. And because they're from Usinger's, you know they're the best. Made with all lean beef and imported spices, cured and smoked the old world way. Because quality has been Usinger's number one ingredient for more than a century.
Ah.
Made right here in Milwaukee since 1880. Usinger's, America's finest Worcester.
Yeah?
Yeah. Yeah, you bet.
It's the Badgers and the Rutgers Scarlet Knights. Our coverage on Thursday starts at 5 o'clock. Tip time will be 6 at the Kohl Center on senior night. We'll talk about Tyler Wall here in a couple of minutes. I know I'm probably wearing you out, or anybody in the media is wearing you out about, you know, Kamari McGee, and he's been out since the first game against Indiana. It's been a painstaking process for him, but some encouraging signs here along the way.
Yeah, I think progress is being made. He's relatively on track. We've had him in practice here for, I guess, where we're in day three of his return. You know, obviously on a limited usage role and what he's in, what he's not, but he's been doing some live action, but obviously on a pitch count as they monitor his progression as he returns. So, you know, I think it's very optimistic that he's going to be back. If he'll be ready tomorrow night, we'll see. But he has made progress, and actually I think in short stints has felt relatively good, you know, and you know, that return after being off for what, a month or more, I knew the first, you know, few days back into the live action was going to be a little shock to his system, but he's actually handled it pretty well.
Yeah, and we've talked about this before, but it's worth mentioning. I mean, he's a guy who plays, it could be 7 or 8 minutes a game, but they're critical minutes. It could give Chucky a little bit of a break, but there's just a presence about him too.
Yeah,
right?
He brings some juice. He brings juice defensively. He's our You know, if he's not one, he's 1A, getting over ball screens along with Chucky, just into the ball, how he's built, his quickness, his toughness, the energy he brings. You know, it's one thing when he can rah-rah from the bench, but when he's in the game and can bring some spark to us, and that little bit of spark has made the difference in those games that he's played. He's turned tides at times and gotten us on track and given us a boost. So to have him back and have him just in practice, I've noticed a difference with us defensively in the handful of possessions I've had him in there with our core group, that he, you know, that's when your ball pressure is good and you got a guy that can really get into the ball and understands our rules and our concepts and has some toughness to him, it makes a positive difference.
Senior night, I know we just taped recorded a television segment here a while ago, but it's always, these nights are always special, and in an age where, you know, the portal, and there's a lot going on in that regards with college athletics. You got Tyler Wahl wrapping up year number 5 right, as a Wisconsin Badger. And hopefully he's got a lot of games ahead of him here in a Wisconsin uniform. He certainly has some, and hopefully, as I said, several. But a guy who's just been a terrific player in every way, right? On and off.
Yeah, he has. I mean, he graduated. He got his undergrad last year, working, getting his master's this year. You know, just from day one, you know, he was on the floor as a freshman in that Big Ten championship team in 2020. You know, he's one of few that have won multiple Big Ten championships when he's been here. So, and playing multiple NCAA tournaments. So he's had great success, you know, consistent success. He's won over 100 games, 66-67% winning percentage. So he's touched a lot of parts of our program and really helped. But the versatility of him as a player, you know, how he's grown. My biggest compliment for Tyler is just watching how he's matured emotionally and how he's, you know, just he has really become a huge asset for us on the floor and in timeouts. And in where he was younger, as most, they go through their ebbs and flows, and his waves were a little maybe higher or lower than normal. But he has really matured and really proud of how he's, you know, number one, did choose to come back in the day of age of the transient nature of college athletics in general, let alone college basketball. You know, seeing a guy at a place for 5 years. Now we got a crew that's coming through next year that will have been here too, the last of the COVID years of eligibility. But for a guy to stay in one place 5 years is really, so you don't see a lot of that, and you're going to see less and less of it, unfortunately, here in college athletics over the course of their career.
Yeah, so embrace it tomorrow night, fans, when you're coming out here to the Kohl Center. You guys have valued him all along, but it seemed like the rest of the country started to understand what Tyler Wahl means a couple of years ago at the Maui Invitational,
right,
in Vegas. I mean, I think Jay Billis had talked about it, was working those games for ESPN. That's where it seemed like everybody else discovered what you guys have valued him is his versatility,
right,
and who he can guard just about anybody.
Yeah, we put him 1 through 5. He's guarded fives. He's switched on to ones, and just that versatility in today's game, you have to exchange and switch a lot, and probably more than ever, and he allows you to do that defensively. So it's, you know, it's easier to game plan with him on the floor, knowing that we can shock ball screens, we can switch them, we can put him on a big guy, we can put him on a smaller guy. So that, just that versatility, and the same thing offensively too. And I think his offensive game this year has benefited from some of the things we've implemented offensively. You know, it allows him to play in transition with the ball and have a plan with it. Some of the motion ball screen we're doing and those things. So it is played into even more of a benefit of a very versatile player like Tyler is.
And the Rutgers, the opponent on senior nights, and we've talked a little bit about how offenses are up, but then here comes Rutgers, the number 4 nationally in defensive efficiency.
Right.
And they were rolling. When you guys, a lot of times it's who you play, where and when. They were rolling when you guys played them the first time. They have cooled off, but the defense still travels for them.
It does. You know, how hard they play, how they hit the offensive glass. You know, if they can get offense out of their defense and get some things in transition, makes life for them easier on the offensive end. But, you know, Steve's always had his team. That was one of the first things he flipped in that program, was just how they play, and understood, I think, rather quickly how you have to play to compete in this league if you want to compete with the people at the top. So, you know, with how they obviously got very good individual players. Williams, who was just coming back when we played him, obviously is leading the charge scoring for him. But you got Omarui inside. Speaking of, you know, guys that have been there a long time. He's been there too a long time. Seems like he's been there forever.
It feels like he was there when Morley was playing for you guys at a non-conference game.
Yes. but other really good players too, that they're, like I said, they hang their hat on the defensive end and the toughness and the rebounding and the grit that they play with.
Final few days of the Big Ten season, you'll conclude the regular season at Purdue. Boilermakers now the outright Big Ten champs, beating Illinois. It's been a every year is different, and we've talked about the scoring being up, but it's been a wildly competitive league again, right? I mean, you're finishing out this season as best you can. Next week is going to be very competitive up right in Minneapolis. I mean, some things don't change, just the competitive nature of the conference.
Exactly. I mean, you just, again, I've said it ad nauseum, don't look at the final score, look at the flow of the games and how, for the most part, every game, regardless of who's playing who amongst the 14 of us, it's pretty tight. You know, the final score may not indicate or be indicative of the tightness of the game. But, you know, from Purdue's standpoint, you know, they're the most consistent team. They're the best team. I don't think, whether I saw them on video or see them in person, they have the most complete team and have been the most consistent. Obviously, having Zach Edey kind of as the ace in the pocket, you know, that's the
that helps
the great unequalizer for the rest of us. But no, they've been the most consistent, you know. So they sit where they sit for obvious and very well-deserved reasons, and now it's the challenge for the rest of us when we get to Minneapolis to see if somebody else can make sure that they don't take that trophy home.
Yeah, no, you're right. The game's being tight. You know, they made some huge shots late, if it was Lawyer or Smith. I mean, you've seen this with your team time and again. You saw it earlier in the year,
right?
And I know it hasn't unfolded the way you want here lately, but a lot of that, is that confidence thing as much
it
as
is.
Anything else?
Yeah, it is. I mean, and just the shot that Braden Smith made last night, you know, to call Edey up in a ball screen, which is really a decoy. He had one thing in his mind. He was going to put the dagger in. So that kind of got them to relax a little bit as you watch the replay back, you know, knowing the ball screen was coming, and Smith knew he was going to, you know, dot a three right in front of him. So, you know, they made plays. They made plays when they had to, and were able to wrap it up.
Yep. Seen that movie here. We've seen Chucky do it. We've seen Max do it. And, they can feel free to do it again if they want multiple times. We'll take a break. When we continue, we'll check in with assistant coach Dean Oliver. He's up next as the Greg Gard Show continues on the Badger Sports Network from Learfield.
Do you think most girls love diamonds?
So like a sparkly ring? Absolutely.
No, silly. I mean the love for a baseball diamond. And listening to the Milwaukee Brewers spring training games on WRJN 1400 AM, 99.9 and 98.1 FM.
We've got you.
People we meet, paths we take, and decisions we make are at the center of the heartfelt romantic comedy Now and Then, continuing its run this weekend at the Racine Theatre Guild. It's 1981, and as Jamie is closing the bar, a desperate last-minute customer offers him and his girlfriend $2,000 to sit and have a drink with him. Who wouldn't take it? As they swap stories, the unbelievable truth about this man is slowly revealed. Call the box office, 633-4218, or racinetheater.org for showtimes and tickets.